Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought, PT, Community Organization. Tonight's topic, Driving While Black. On November 13, 2020, two teens were shot and killed by Coca law enforcement during an attempted car stop. Law enforcement alleged that the vehicle was stolen, that the youth refused to stop upon command and attempted to run him over. It's a shame these officers chose to stop a vehicle before checking to see if it was stolen, threatening the occupants with lethal force because the driver did not adhere to their commands to stop with their weapons, you know, pointed at them. Then one officer walks toward the vehicle, creating his own jeopardy, which he used to validate shooting and killing two teens in Coca, Florida. Some say the driver should have stopped. Maybe they would still be alive. Maybe. But they didn't stop. The teens were black and the officer was white. Rather, race played a role in the officer's decision to use lethal force or not. There are some things very wrong about what precipitated this car stop. And I just named some of them. I mean, this case really not difficult. But first, some background information on our Florida Deputy Terminator from Florida Today. Newly released documents from the Brevard County Sheriff's Office shed light on a pattern of impulsive and violent behavior by Brevard Deputy Jafet Santiago Miranda in the months before a shooting that led to the death of two Coca teens, right? The incidents include regarding this officer, Santiago Miranda, a reported physical confrontation, and alleged threats against a Titusville police officer. Threats against a police officer, that's at least a misdemeanor, depending on what kind of threats he's making, right? Also, the documents also show Santiago Miranda had a record of carelessness leading to minor violations of agency policy, which included twice being cited for improper procedure while attempting to stop fleeing vehicle. That's very, very important. All right? I'm just going to say that again. That also, documents also show a record of carelessness leading to minor violations of agency policy, which included twice being cited for improper procedure while attempting to stop fleeing vehicles. All right? So that's who we're dealing with. That's one aspect about this person. News 1 recorded the same thing. It says, violent history of Florida deputy who fatally shot black teens prompts concerns as families of victims await answers. Because as you could guess, this thing is under investigation. And these guys are on administrative leave. Basically means they had a desk getting paid. So he remains employed after a storied history of violence that his department had full knowledge of. So you gotta wonder, okay? You gotta wonder about this guy, you know. So what happened? Again, I said on November 13th, he shot two black teens in a car. that basically they gave command, stop, stop the vehicle, stop, you know, whatever. I think they said it did seven times. And the driver was Angelo Croom, 16, and sitting in the back seat was Sincere Pierce, 18-year-old, right? So Santiago fired the fatal shots. They say eight shots can be heard from the dash cam video footage of the shooting. He's not far away from his car when he's doing this. A third unnamed person was riding in with the teens and was let go after being questioned by police. That's very interesting right there. The sheriff's office maintained the vehicle was stolen, which it was not, claimed Santiago, in an attempt to stop the deadly threat of the car from crashing into him. I'm going to advise everybody to take a look at the video and see what you think about, you know, what's happening in the video. After pursuit came to a halt on a local street, which they had blocked the entrance into that street that this car had turned into, right? They said they recovered two guns from the vehicle. So what's that mean? They recovered two guns. He had to gun these teenagers down. Well, you can translate that into meaning these are very dangerous people, and the officers could have been killed by these gun-toting, gang-banging monsters. Just two more off the street. The officer did the community a service. Why be concerned about the particulars of this trash, this case? They are the bad guys, and we are the good guys. Both Santiago and the other one, Handren, had been placed on paid administrative leave. Now Handren did something different. But the lawyers for the Pierce family say the car belonged to Pierce, 18-year-old, sitting in the back seat, his girlfriend, and that police never checked the license plate to confirm if the vehicle was stolen. You would think that's police work 101. And we know that. We just see that on TV. Even a TV cop is checking the plates of a car. Why come these guys aren't doing that? Pierce's family also questioned the deputy's explanation that he feared for his life, according to the placement of the bullets along the side of the car and the back seat window on the side of the car. The car is going to run you over. Certainly not doing it from the side. Cars that move from the side now? Anyway, police, Pierce was sitting in the back seat at the time of the shooting. He's dead. He wasn't driving. He's in the back seat. This guy feared for his life. The officer was not in front of the vehicle, but on the side of the vehicle when he started shooting. He was also on the side, right? Natalie Jackson, attorney of Fort Pierce, great aunt Cynthia Green, who, this is really interesting, who was the legal guardian, said he was not in fear of deadly force and the vehicle was not a threat to him. Both families will point to dash cam video showing Crooms trying to veer away from the officers in an attempt to escape. And they have good reason to doubt the police report due to accusations regarding Santiago Miranda's past violent history with his wife and the other police officer. He threatened the police officer. And we're going to get into that. In April, Santiago Miranda was under internal investigation in regards to a domestic violence claim from his estranged wife, who accused him of beating her after threatening a fellow police officer who he believed was conducting an affair with his wife. The two were also in a bitter custody battle with their daughter. They said, according to the threatened officer, right, Santiago Miranda warned that he needed to wear a bulletproof vest. I thought officers wear bulletproof vests anyway, but he told him, you better have a vest on, right? That's equivalent to, I'm going to kill you. The Brevard County Sheriff's Department ordered Santiago to stay away from his wife and their residence. What about this police officer? So it sounds like he got a slap on the wrist right there. Same guy, same angry, homicidal guy, still on the streets, stopping cars, improperly making police stops and things like that. Anyway, the great aunt Cynthia Green says she followed the teens in her car due to a premonition. She had a premonition after they left her home around 10:30 a.m. She said she called out to the officers warning them not to shoot. She was there on the scene. She thought something was going to happen. She followed these kids in the car and, you know, to no avail, you know, but still, she was there. Now, this hero police officer, Santiago Miranda, has a history of a pattern of impulsive violent behavior, has a record of reported physical confrontation and alleged threats against a Tootsville police officer. Has a record of carelessness leading to minor violations of agency, right, policy, which included twice being cited for improper procedure while attempting to stop fleeing vehicles. Here we are again at the same point with this same guy, with this enraged, internally enraged individual who has already threatened a police officer. Beat up his ex-wife. They ain't even his wife. They ain't even together. He's going to beat her up because she's messing with another dude and trying to control her. So it shows he's a control freak, right? That's your ex-estranged wife. Y'all not together. He's still trying to control her. So this guy's a control freak. It makes it even worse. He's a police officer, right? Anyway, and the Brevard County Sheriff's Department and Florida Department of Law Enforcement is allowing this guy, this aggressive renegade, to patrol the community armed with deadly force. He should have been given a stay-away order from his wife, the police officer, and the police force. He is a walking time bomb, and nobody saw that or cared about that. Obvious. These characteristics and attributes most likely impacted on his behavior and decision to use lethal force. I gave a command 7 times. They didn't listen to me. My wife doesn't listen to me, doesn't do. My ex-wife, my estranged wife doesn't listen to me. I'm going to put foot to her behind and whoever, you know, she's seeing, I'm going to put some lead in them. They will need a bulletproof vest because I'm going to hit them center mass, as I'm trained to do as a police officer. They got this guy patrolling the neighborhood. Should have been fired. He's on administrative duty now. Should have been fired a long time ago. This wouldn't have happened. Not with him. Anyway, Florida State statute title, what's that, 55, chapter 8, what's that? I don't even know what number that is. It's Roman numerals, y'all. It's a chapter 836, section 12, XLVI, I don't know if that's 55, 6, 5, 55, 6, 5, 5, 6. I don't know what it is, but we ain't going to worry about that, right? It's 2016 statute, chapter 8, 3, 6, section 12. Any person who threatens law enforcement officer, a state attorney, assistant attorney, a firefighter, a judge, or an elected official, or a family member of such persons with death or seriously bodily harm commits a misdemeanor of the first degree punishable as provided in this section 775.082, right? Or 775.083. A person who commits a second or a subsequent violation of subsection 2 commits a felony of the third degree punishable as provided in 775.082, 775.083, 775.084. We ain't going to get into all that, right? Law and Crime, Associated Press News says, Florida deputy shoots and kills two teens in attempted traffic stop in Coca, Florida. The local sheriff's office said the official was in harm's way. Talking about the car here, you know, watch the video, y'all. I guess I need a video portion of the show with some of this stuff because you got to see it. An attorney for the family of the deceased, however, said the teens were in fear for their lives. But can black teens be in fear of their lives? Can they? Is that allowed? Angela Coon, 16, and Sincere Pierce, 18, were shot and killed, right? The sedan stopped temporarily in a local driveway. Deputies stopped behind the vehicle. That's when they blocked the street. And authorities stepped out with their guns drawn. Why? Somebody answer the question, why? Why are these guys getting out of their car with their guns drawn? Okay. The vehicle is not stolen, which they should have known. You know, maybe these people are just in the habit of just drawing their guns on folks, just not having an answer for it. Anyway, they said the gray sedan backed out of the driveway and turned around, facing the patrol vehicle. It briefly backed up again and then went forward, right, because he was trying to get out of their way, forward when a male deputy opened fire multiple times at the car. The gray vehicle rolled out of the frame. Well, they're missing the, what they're not saying is that this male deputy had to leave his car in order to get to move toward the vehicle, right? No. The officers had the street entrance blocked with their vehicles, right? This is from Provocative Thought, so don't get mixed up with the Associated Press. Deputy Hendren sought the safety of his vehicle, exiting out of the driver's side, going around the vehicle to the passenger side, placing his vehicle between the alleged suspects and his or hers. I don't know if that was a male or female. I think it was a, I don't know. But that cop put his vehicle between him and the suspects. Deputy Jafet Santiago Miranda, in his infinite wisdom and aggression, exited his vehicle, left the safety of his vehicle, creating his own jeopardy as he walked toward a slowly moving vehicle, again violating law enforcement policy by creating his own jeopardy and firing into a moving vehicle. You're not supposed to create your own jeopardy. It means you're not supposed to create a situation where you could perceive that you could that your life could be in jeopardy or someone else's, right? And you're not supposed to fire it into a moving vehicle because you could fire into that vehicle, that celebrate, run through somebody's house, kill some kids watching television, you understand? Kill a little old lady knitting. Kill somebody you love, you know? So there's all kinds of violations going on here. My good friend warned me, if this goes to court, court is where they go to explain away the truth, regardless of the facts, so that this murderer is not convicted of this obvious crime. Attorney Benjamin Crump said, after reviewing the limited footage released by Brevard County Sheriff's Office, it is painfully troubling to us that this teen driver and the teen in the back seat passenger were terrified and drove around deputies to approach, who approached the vehicle with guns drawn. They should be used to police drawing guns on them. They should be used to guns being pointed at them. They should be used to being shot at. Should be part of the course for these guys. Is that the thinking? He goes on to say, believe your own eyes. Watch the video. As I'm saying, watch the video. Tell me if you think these guys trying to run this off. This guy, this team is trying to run this guy over. Because it doesn't look that way. The deputy was still shooting as the car cleared him and posed no threat. He was shooting at the side of the vehicles. That's how you get a bullet hole in the back seat window that killed Pierce, who's not driving. They said they did say the incident happened as a part of a follow-up investigation on what deputies thought could be a stolen car that had recently fled from another deputy. Here's another, this is just shoddy police work, or these guys just straight up lying. I guess the teens had no real reason to fear for their lives. After all, the police were on the scene with weapons pointed in their direction. And you know, Black Lives Matter. Maybe this officer did not get hit by the vehicle because the teen driver had the consciousness of mind under extreme life-threatening conditions not to hit the imminent lethal threat approaching the vehicle. That explains why he did not accelerate and why he turned the vehicle away from the officer. He wasn't trying to run him over. The officer's shooting on the side of the vehicle supports this. The incident happened as a part of a follow-up investigation on what deputies thought the car had been stolen recently and recently fled from another deputy. That's a suspicious statement regarding an investigation. Are these Keystone's cops or real law enforcement? First, what exactly are they following up? Don't you need information to follow up on a stolen car, like what kind of car was stolen, what color it was, what kind of wheels, rims it has, and last but not least, the license plate number of the stolen vehicle? Second, thought the car could be stolen. You can't think a car stolen and use that as a reason to stop some, approach somebody. You can't think something. You cannot think that a car is stolen. They have the ability to know if the car is stolen. So for them to say, I thought, says that's a derelict of duty right there. They have the ability to know if the car is stolen. They had the ability to know if they should stop the car while following it, running a check on a license plate. That's all they had to do. That old TV movie thing that we see cops doing. Anyway, sounds like Keystone cops do better policing than these guys. They'll be saying the vehicle fits the description of an alleged stolen car, but since they were not saying that, maybe it is because it doesn't fit the description of the car if there really was a stolen car in question. Because now I'm starting to question anything these cops say. These particular cops. Because something does not seem right about the situation. Does anybody else see that the police had no legitimate reason to approach and stop this vehicle based on the information provided? You thought it was stolen. You could know that if the car is stolen. They had even less reason to draw their weapons. They didn't stop. They drew their weapons. Really? When is the officer supposed to use lethal force or threaten to use lethal force? I'm pretty sure it's not because the car doesn't stop moving. Oh, it's making a U-turn in somebody's driveway. They even had less reason to drive their to draw their weapons. If a slow-moving vehicle scares or frightens a police officer, causing him to fear for his life, that officer is a threat to the community, and he needs to find another job. That officer should not be moving toward the path of the vehicle if he's afraid. What kind of nonsense is that? All vehicles accelerate to move. So to use that word is you know, that's trying to imply that this guy's trying to run him over. Not so. Guy was trying to get out of the way. Is slowly driving away from police a death sentence? The jeopardy was created by law enforcement. You cannot put yourself in a situation of potential risk and blame the other person when you facilitated the risk or the perceived risk. Because this guy was, look at the video. He wouldn't have jumped in front of a speeding car, trust me. You know, he jumped in front of a car because he knew these kids were not trying to, they weren't driving fast at a very accelerated rate, and they weren't trying to run him over. He knows that. He tried to put himself in that position. Maybe he, you know, feels like, hey, I'm an authoritative figure. My wife doesn't listen to me. You guys are going to listen. I don't know. He's either a big liar or a little fairy cat, or both. Either way, he is not fit for law enforcement unless it is the function of law enforcement to create conditions that can be remotely perceived as a lethal threat in order to murder or injure someone. If that's law enforcement's job, then this guy actually did his job. If it's not, he should be fired and he should be prosecuted. This is the part where law enforcement starts to build their case, find out anything that is wrong, and apply it to this case. Back to the article. According to the official account, Santiago Miranda and Deputy Carson Hendren saw the vehicle in question, tried to make contact with the people inside. Santiago said he gave seven verbal commands, for the driver to stop the vehicle, you know, so, and he didn't. So, again, I'm going to keep saying these things. Is failing to obey a police command to stop a vehicle a lethal threat to a police officer, or is it simply a death sentence for the occupants? Got to remember, they pulled their guns out when these guys were backing up. Coming out of the, when they stopped and got out of their car, they pulled their guns out. These guys backed in the driveway, pulled in the driveway, backed out. So, police are at least threatening to kill the occupants in the vehicle when they draw their weapon and point it in their direction. Remember George Floyd? This is exactly what they say when a civilian draws a weapon and points it at them, and they use lethal force, stating they feared for their life. Hell, they use that when there's no gun. If an armed officer can fear for his life, so can teens in a car, innocent or guilty of any crime. The article went on to say, we keep running this thing about how they kept giving these demands, these seven demands. He gave demands. They didn't stop. And let's say Miranda, he said the car turns and accelerates the vehicle toward Deputy Santiago Miranda. He's doing some Arnold Schwarzenegger stuff on a situation. Car moving real slow, y'all. You gotta see the video. This dude's no hero. I say he was forced to fire his service weapon in an attempt to stop the deadly threat of the car from crashing into him. Wow. That's the hell. Do bullets stop cars, y'all? Because the last time I looked, they stopped people before they stopped cars. And he wasn't shooting in the engine, so he wasn't trying to stop the car. He was trying to stop the people. Crump dismissed the sheriff's office statement claiming the authorities were just trying to justify the killing. Oh, I left something out. They said two firearms were found in the vehicle. I said that previously. So Crump doesn't even believe that they even found firearms in there. That's how bad a relationship the law enforcement has with the community. Now, Angela Cruz celebrates the vehicle, right? This is from Provocative Thought. The vehicle never came to a complete stop or cessation of movement. It stopped enough to back up and move forward. The kid made a U-turn off a driveway. The car was always in motion or stopped to go in motion. Because, you know, you got to stop to go forward or backwards. Croon accelerated to move the vehicle slowly in the direction he was intending to drive. It didn't appear that he was attempting to run the officer over at the slow speed he was traveling. The officer placed himself in the path of the vehicle. Check it out. As he probably does normally, because he's Superman. You know, he's the boss. He's in charge. He's a control freak to the point that he's willing to create or put himself in jeopardy to stop a vehicle. This case is so simple. It's crazy. What are these guys going over? The only thing they could be going over is how do we get this guy out of this situation? Other than that, they're not going over anything. Because this is a little bit of information I got and I seen, and based on what the procedures the officer should do and should not do, they didn't do anything that they should do. Firearms in the vehicle after the fact, right? He ain't know nothing about no guns in the car. If there were guns in the car, they're trying to establish the commission of a felony after the fact, after attempting to make an illegal stop, after racially profiling the youth. There was no reasonable or legal reason or reasonable suspicion to stop the vehicle, unless it's driving while black. I don't know. Driving while black seems to be, I don't know. I'm starting to think that they must have two laws here. It's illegal to drive while you're black without being harassed by police. As I keep saying, all they had to do was run the plates of the vehicle and they would have known it wasn't stolen. It wasn't stolen. Did they? Did they run the plates? If they didn't, it's because they are simply used to doing what they want to do and getting away with it. If they did and stopped the vehicle knowing it wasn't stolen, it supports the harassment and racial profiling of the youth. The officer, harassment and or racial profiling of the youth. The officer did not attempt to stop the vehicle because they perceived they had firearms in the vehicle. They were allegedly looking for a stolen car. This is shoddy police work. No police work at all, I'll tell you the truth. This is at least harassment in the initial stages. He did not kill because he thought or saw that they had firearms in the vehicle. By the officer's own testimony, he felt threatened that the driver was trying to run him over at about 5 miles an hour, okay, and turning away from him. Anyway, these firearms, if there were actually firearms in the vehicle, are irrelevant to why the officer shot into the vehicle. He never saw a weapon or a weapon in anyone's hand during the incident. Therefore, the weapons did not present a lethal threat and have nothing to do with why the officer used lethal force. The officer's own testimony supports that. He tried to run me over, so I killed him and his passenger. Are you kidding? Something's wrong with this picture. Why isn't this guy in jail? at least for killing all Sincere. Let's just say if this other guy, 16-year-old, was trying to run him over that's at an accelerated speed, why is the guy in our back seat dead? Anyway, what is the legal reason for killing a passenger in the back seat? Was anyone charged with possession of an illegal weapon? Because I heard the third person was released. Anyway, the story went on to say if anything, the deputy appears to have moved closer to the vehicle. This is Mr. Crump saying. Vehicle to get a better shot, which, you know what? It kind of looks that way to me, too. The video shows that the deputy continued to fire shots into the side of the vehicle as it was passing him. I did see that, too. After he was out of harm's way, what was the perception then? Well, because he sure did shoot on the side of the vehicle. You can see holes in the driver's side and the passenger's back window. He continued to fire illegally and recklessly into the vehicle as it passed him. There is only one reason he could have been doing that, and that is to kill the occupants in the vehicle. That was a civilian. That's been an attempted murder. Not been a murder, two homicides, and an attempted murder on a third person. This is evidenced by the killing of Chrome's driving and Pierce, backseat passenger. Bullet holes in the side windows of the vehicle. That is what aggressive, angry, controlling people do. This guy was a walking time bomb. They should have really taken him off the police force. Now, maybe they're trying to hash it out, save him, to save that part of this scenario, because the plot thickens when you take in account that this guy has already beat up his wife, his estranged wife. That ain't even his wife. I kind of get it. You get angry, you catch a wife with another man. I get that whole scenario. I don't advise that, though. But okay, you beat up your estranged wife. That means you're trying to control her, and you're trying to control this police officer. Two adults, right? One wearing a gun like you. And you threaten to kill him. And this is the guy they allow to continue to be. He has a history of making improper police stops. Those improper police stops could result in the termination, right, of two young lives. This guy wasn't in no danger. The only imminent threat out there was the people pulling the guns. So let's say if these guys had guns in the car, they never brandished a gun. They never pointed a gun at nobody. Another sign, not trying to kill anybody. Because if I was in a car and we decided to kill a police officer and we have guns, let me see. I'm going to pull the gun out and shoot, get to shoot, because running a police officer and shooting a police officer, no different. Dead police officer is a dead police officer, whether you shoot him or run him over with a car. So I don't see anything that supports the idea that these guys are actually trying to kill police. And that's just hypothetically if guns were in the car, because I don't know. Police said they found two guns. I have very little faith in this police department, and I'm not even from Florida. It's the same old BS every time. Never being transparent is indicative of always having something to hide. That something is most likely video that does not support the officer's testimony. They are probably trying to conjure up a scenario to explain away what is seen on video. As my friend says, they do that in court. I say they start that procedure pronto. You know, that starts immediately. They show you the images they wanted you to see to project the scenario they wanted to project. Anyone feeling this scenario should have ended with two youths being gunned down at close range is not feeling anything at all. Funding University of South Florida Police Department, 2020, use of force policy analysis. As mandated by the University of South Florida Police Department, General Order Number 3, shooting at or from moving vehicle is prohibited in all instances except those circumstances when life of the officer or another person is in danger. Shall, they say, an officer shall use appropriate safety measures and shall not intentionally place themselves in harm's way by standing or moving in front of or behind a vehicle or reaching inside an operating vehicle unless it is tactically necessary to prevent the loss of life or injury to the officer or others. Officers will not purposely and needlessly place themselves or remain in situations of great danger in order to justify the use of deadly force. This law is applicable to this incident. It is legally applicable to this Florida Police Department. If it is, the officer who immediately placed themselves out of harm's way by after blocking the street with his patrol car by putting patrol car between themselves and the alleged suspects seemed to do the right thing. That's police procedure, and it is a safe procedure because it doesn't make conflict happen. It doesn't create jeopardy, right? After blocking the street with his patrol car, Santiago placed himself in harm's way by getting out of the police vehicle and walking toward the path of the vehicle, backing up, obviously to move forward, and then he stepped toward the moving vehicle, ordering the driver to stop with your gun pointed at it. He aggravated the assault by walking next to the vehicle while shooting into it. Judging by the speed the vehicle was moving, which was very slow, y'all. Check the video out. It's on YouTube. The movement of the vehicle did not appear to be threatening. That is why the officer intentionally placed himself in jeopardy by approaching or attempting to block the path of the slow-moving vehicle. He would not have approached the car if it were moving at a higher rate of speed. Got to look at it. This does not look like guys trying to get to, oh, let's hurry up, get out of here. It's not that kind of situation. It's like, let's keep moving. You know, that kind of situation. Are officers trained to stop vehicles by standing in their path and or shooting into the vehicle? He attempted to use himself as a police barricade and his sidearm as his enforcer. Why didn't they simply follow the car? Why do these officers have their guns drawn anyway? What was the lethal threat that precipitates their initial use or show of deadly force? Failure to listen to a police command? I must admit, I might be dead if that was a death sentence. I probably wouldn't be here myself. I would have been dead a long time ago. If that's a death sentence, you don't listen to the police, you get popped. You know, as I said, something is wrong with this picture. From Florida today. Excuse me. When is it okay for a law enforcement officer to shoot at a moving vehicle? They say, well, it depends. A few hundred people gathered on the corner of US 1 and 520 to protest the killing of the two teens, right? This means an officer must take into consideration things such as the severity of the suspected crime, right? We just talked about this, right? Whether the suspect is an imminent threat, their access to weapons, and if there are any innocent bystanders nearby who could be harmed, which again is unknown so far in this case, right? Access to weapons, you can't use that in your analogy because you didn't know anything about any weapons. You didn't even see weapons. If there are weapons actually there. So when you consider the severity of the crime, there was no need to draw a weapon, especially since the car was not stolen. If the suspect is resisting arrest, the amount of force they are using is also a consideration. And drawing a weapon or trying to run down an officer with a vehicle is considered deadly force under policy. See? Many agency policies across the country make it clear that a police officer cannot create their own jeopardy, according to Mel Tucker, a former FBI agent who, for more than 25 years, was police chief of four cities across three states, including chief of Tallahassee Police Department. The International Association of Chiefs of Police, in collaboration with the National Institute of Justice, regularly published model policies for police department. Tucker said that since 2005, the IACP, International Association of Chiefs of Police, right, model policy for use of force specifically states that officers should not move out of the way of a vehicle rather than, officers should move out of the way of a vehicle rather than shoot it. That's not what this guy did. Santiago had on his blue suit and his red boots that day, right? Firearms shall not be discharged at a moving vehicle unless a person in the vehicle is immediately threatening the officer or another person with deadly force by means other than the vehicle. Other than the vehicle. Right? Right? Firearms shall not be discharged at a moving vehicle unless the person in the vehicle is imminently threatening the officer or another person with deadly force by means other than the vehicle. The moving vehicle itself shall not be constitute a threat that justifies an officer's use of deadly force. When possible, the officer threatened by oncoming vehicle, right? An officer threatened by an oncoming vehicle, vehicle coming towards him, shall move out of its path instead of discharging a firearm at it or any of its occupants. Shall move out of its path instead of discharging a firearm at it or any of its occupants. That's what the policy states. This guy's known to violate policy. This guy's known to have a temper. This guy's known to be aggressive. This guy's known to threaten the life of a police officer. He's still on the streets. See, the plot thickens and this case grows. Anyway, they say, shooting the car will not stop the car, right? Especially with handguns. If you shoot the driver, you have an uncontrolled 5,000-pound missile coming down the road. So that's why most departments have a policy that says you do not shoot at or from a moving vehicle, and you do not use deadly force in a situation trying to stop somebody in a vehicle. It's just not done, he said. It just was done. He said it's just not done, but it is done. This guy just did it, and he's being paid for people to investigate what? I don't understand that. What is the investigation going on about? Anyway, according to a former Leon County Sheriff Ken Kat Cyrus, a law enforcement consultant and trainer, when it comes to determining the reasonableness of an officer's actions, it's constitutional standards that matter. And police training and policy are irrelevant to that determination. Polices don't make the constitutional standard, he said. The determination, he said, hinges on three questions. Was the subject fleeing or resisting arrest? What was the seriousness of the crime? Failure to stop, follow police order to stop a vehicle. Was the officer in imminent danger? Hell to the no. He parked his car blocking the drive, the street, the road, entering the street. And they tried to exit through another path. So if he stayed where he was at, he would have been in no danger whatsoever. It said the initial landmark Supreme Court case ruled against police using deadly force to stop fleeing criminals, but subsequent cases have favored law enforcement. In 1985, Supreme Court ruling of Tennessee versus Gardner concluded that an officer may not use deadly force on a fleeing suspect unless the officer has probable cause to believe that the suspect possesses a significant threat of death or serious physical injury to the officer or other. So if you don't present serious physical injury to the officer or other or pose a significant threat of death, you have no business using lethal force. The use of deadly force to prevent the escape of all felony suspects, whatever the circumstances, is constitutionally unreasonably, the court wrote, unreasonable. It's constitutionally unreasonable. In 1989, in a case Graham versus Connor, expanded in 1985 ruling to include all types of police stops and use of force, but favored an officer's viewpoint when it came to feeling endangered. This is why you got to get the kitty cats off the police force. Get the Klan members and the aggressive people, the people who just looking for an opportunity to shoot somebody, or the, you know, the kitty cats, get them off the police force. Police are given deference for split-second decisions and the perception of the officer, he said. Wait a minute. Now, I got to stop right there. The team driver was making a split second decision under the threat of death. A police officer who uses deadly force because of how he feels is not fit for duty. Get these kitty cats off the police force. If there is no actual threat to his life except the jeopardy he placed himself in, that officer is as much a murderer as a civilian is who murders based on how he or she feels. You know how many people get murdered out here because of how somebody feels? Imagine all the homicides if everyone killed or used deadly force according to how they feel. Or you don't really got to imagine that because we got that going right now. In fact, if you should only use deadly force to meet or stop deadly force, the fact is you should only use deadly force to meet or stop deadly force. Get the cowards, the racists, the aggressors off the police force and out of legislation. We got to end this thing some kind of way. Y'all join the police force, be a stand-up person. Stop giving these cowards a legal excuse for murdering civilians. I feared for my life. Are they the only persons that could fear, that could be fearful, and they had their guns drawn? You scared, you got your guns drawn, you got a buddy with a gun drawn. And you're the one that's scared. These guys had, if these guys had guns in the car, they ain't shooting at you. They ain't shoot at these guys. They're not trying to hurt these police. What happens when civilians start murdering law enforcement because they fear for their lives? Make no doubt about it. Civilians fear for their lives in the presence of law enforcement, especially when their weapons are pointed at them. Look at the George Floyd tape. You want to see what that looks like. What a double standard. So only person could fear for their life is law enforcement, and they're the only one making split decisions. You got to be kidding. You make a split decision every time you, some people in the house. You hit that curb, you may be required to make a split decision with a civilian or police officer. You don't know. You got people killing people around here like you're supposed to kill people. Something is wrong with this picture. Newsflash. Law enforcement are not the only people making split decisions under duress or threat of death. Are they kidding? Sister Brianna was murdered in a house. Her boyfriend shot one time toward the floor. Then guy shot over 30 times in the housing area. That's an act of cowardice. Because if you're afraid, your answer to that, your answer, a response to that is to just flood the area with bullets. You don't care who you hit. You're not looking at the target or nothing. And that's what this guy did. He didn't care. He was reckless. Everything he did was reckless. From following the car, not checking the license plate, pulling your service revolver out when you got out of your car, moving toward the moving vehicle, firing shots into the vehicle. Everything he did was reckless. He had no and showed no respect for the lives of the occupants of that vehicle, which is indicated by him not only shooting the driver, which he should not have been doing, also shooting the passenger in the back seat. He was on a frenzy. Got to take these things down. Got to take them out. Maybe he took his frustration out on these people. Maybe he don't like blacks. Maybe he just, acted out. As we said, he do this angry cop, threatening to kill another cop. Already put foot to his ex-woman's behind for messing, trying to get her needs met with another man. He's controlling. How can they not see this guy as the demon that he is? At least the other cop had enough sense not to shoot because they didn't perceive a threat. That's why she wasn't shooting or he wasn't shooting. They didn't perceive a threat. Only one doing the shooting is the one who wanted to kill. It's not a complicated case right here. The fact that they're having an investigation, it might last 30 to 90 days, that's suspicious to me. Anyway, they also say that the court shows difference to law enforcement means that officers are rarely charged and many cases end with civil settlements instead. But the frequent ruling in favor of police are driving public discontent over police accountability. Show enough. Right? But here's the thing you need to pay attention to. The court's difference to law enforcement means that the officers are rarely charged. They defer to law enforcement. The court's difference to law enforcement is unconstitutional and in violation of your right to due process as the 5th and 14th Amendment supports. Fine law says the 5th Amendment has an explicit requirement that the federal government not deprive individuals of life, liberty, and property without due process of law and an implicit guarantee that each person receive equal protection of the law. Under the law, the 14th Amendment explicitly prohibits states from violating an individual's rights to due process and equal protection. So these teens were robbed of life by a known aggressive and violent offender, officer. The court's deference to law enforcement represents systemic judicial misconduct and corruption. You cannot and will not have a fair trial if the court favors the actions and words of your murderer or aggressor. That is not due process. It is the process due you without protection under the law. The devil cannot judge himself any more than any man will punish himself for something he feels he has a right to do or he should get away with. Come on, this is crazy. This whole system is crazy. And they got the nerve to have be a known fact that courts defer to the officer. That's crazy. His mouth ain't no prayer book. All men lie. All men have the capacity to lie. All men. Just because he's wearing a blue suit and took a sworn oath to whatever the hell they swearing to, because it's starting to get pretty cloudy to me what the hell is going on with these police officers based on what they do and what the administration does in response to the, what they do, like in this case right here. This guy's wrong on top of wrong. He's all kinds of wrong. Changes to the laws of his all the court cases he believes will come. Wow. Right, folks still marching. White folks marching. And look, and we got to struggle for the obvious. This is crazy. He said this is one of the reasons he's been anticipating that we will see a change. We will have another U.S. Supreme Court decision that will modify Graham versus Conner. Why? Because deadly force should not be used when it should be used. No, because deadly force should only be used when it is necessary. See, all this here, I fear for my life stuff. Whenever I hear I fear for my life, that means you didn't have no reason to use deadly force. Because a person that has a reason to use deadly force, they're going to tell you exactly why they shot somebody. He drew a gun on me. Came at me with a knife. He charged me. They're going to say something like that. I had time to react. I shot him. Bam. You know, they're going to say something. He was driving his car at accelerated speed. I was trying to get out of the way, and I shot. I don't know. At least have a lethal situation present before you pull the trigger. Then we can kind of understand, oh, yeah, okay. He had a reason to fear for his life. But this guy didn't have that. No lethal situation here. What do y'all think, listeners? Officers following a car down the street. I think that car is stolen. That good police, is that the way it go? Any police officers listening to this? Is that the way it go? I think that car is stolen. Let's pull it over. You don't run the plate? Tell people to stop. They don't stop. Fill the car up with holes. We got a caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hey, this is Q.
Q.
Yeah, that cop is doing the same thing they always do. The judge, jury, and executioner, you know? And it's just weird how Remanda is... What's his name again?
Who? Santana? Santiago?
Remanda?
Santiago?
Santiago?
Yeah. Miranda, yeah. Santiago Miranda.
Right. It's weird how Miranda is denying these people their rights, and including their Miranda rights. You know, it's like, that's weird. His name is Miranda.
Hey, that's,
like
hey,
he would
that's
remember
not,
that.
Hey, that's a hell of a coincidence right there. I didn't even catch that. They had the right to remain silent, and he made sure that two of them remained silent. That's the way I see it.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
This is a stop that never should have took place. The crime was committed at the point that they decided to stop this car for allegedly being a stolen vehicle when you had opportunity to know that it's a stolen vehicle. Right there. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So these guys ain't do nothing. And now they got to sit down and hash it out. What are they trying to hash out? So now we have part two. All right, because this is a done deal. These guys are dead. The same with guns in the car. They let one of the suspects go that was in the car. Didn't charge him with anything. I didn't see anything about anybody, a third party, being charged with the guns in the car. You know how it is. You got a gun in the car. It could be my gun, but it's under your chair. They're going to give you the case. So I don't understand, you know, where did they find the guns at? In the trunk somewhere? You know, like what's, you know, you need more information on that if they found guns. I mean, this thing is so bad that even Crump, doesn't even believe that state. You know what I'm saying? This is how, you know, bad it's gotten. So,
right.
What the hell?
I thought that it say, I was going to say, I thought that if, like, the police did something wrong and then they searched something without actually having the legal right to search it or anything like that. I thought like anything they found after that was like inadmissible.
Out. Inadmissible. Right.
All right. So all that stuff about them allegedly having guns and all that kind of stuff is irrelevant.
It's irrelevant because it's go ahead.
Because they weren't supposed to be stopped in the first place. They didn't have a stolen
vehicle.
Wasn't
supposed to be stopped in the first place. That's right. Correct. And it's after the fact. Right? It's after the fact.
Right.
It's not even the reason why you stopped him. Think he really had enough heart to stop a vehicle where he know was a run-up to a vehicle where it was three gangbangers with guns in their hand? You think he got that kind of heart? Hell
nah,
to the
he's going all John Wayne.
Yeah, he going all John Wayne.
John Wayne.
That's right. He can see that this is not a lethal situation, and it's a situation where he can act out upon. We have another caller. Hold on, Q.
Yeah,
Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Yeah, it seems like they make their own rule up as they go, and they're not following no real law. So it's a fake law, their own fictitious. Because they don't have probable cause to stop anybody, even with the fake laws that they're making up. So to do what they did, I mean, there's no retaliation. That's what my problem would be. I'm like, something got to give. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, nobody had to die. No one had to die from this situation. Nobody had to be killed. No one had to even be shot. It wasn't that kind of party. And
It seems to me that there is no law. So.
Well, there's a law, and it for you. There's a law for you. But for some people, there's no law. That's what it seems to be. Some people are above the law. It doesn't apply to them.
Right.
To the point that courts are deferring to their account or whatever happened, you know. So whatever, you can say what you want to say. That means you can't get a fair trial. What do you mean you're deferring to them? That's unconstitutional. You can't defer to nobody. You got to weigh the facts. This guy was already a menace to society. He beat his ex-wife up. And he threatened a police officer that he thought was, you know, giving her the business. You know what I'm saying? He threatened him with lethal force. So a guy like that, are you trying to tell me he's not capable of just killing people, which he actually did? I mean, this is cut and dry. I mean, this is point blank, cut and dry case. And I think that the police of the city or whoever, the county, or whoever allowed this guy to remain a police force is partly responsible for this incident which might be why, even more reason why they try to get this guy off. We got a,
Right. So he goes back to the precinct and he's like, good job. And
good
get
job.
A raise.
Good job.
Gets a raise. So I guess it's like they're instigating us to retaliate, to be honest. That's what it seems like to me. I've been through quite a few run-ins with police in the past 20, 30 years. Just pulling you over and having to deal with them on a different, you know, level. I've had it happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they pull you over, they should have probable cause. You ran a light, sir. Sir, we noticed we smelled marijuana, strong odor of marijuana coming from your car, sir. Sir, you got two bricks fell out of your trunk. Your trunk is open. Two bricks of cocaine fell out. We picked them up, and we like searched your car. You know, something like that. You know, but
right.
You
but
have
I don't
some.
Think I don't think that should escalate to somebody losing their life, even if they had a light out or he didn't have no plates on his car. Or how does that escalate to a confrontation? That's where. You know, that's not even law what they're doing in the first place. So I'm having a problem with that.
It has nothing to do with law. It has something to do with I'm a controlling person. I seek to control my ex-wife. I threaten her with violence. I seek to control a fellow law enforcement officer. I threaten him with violence. You see the pattern here? I don't follow procedure for stopping motor. I don't follow procedure for stopping moving vehicles. See the pattern here? I am a control freak. We don't even got to get into the racist part. We can just look at this, who he is, what he's exhibiting. He's very controlling to the point, right, that he put himself in jeopardy, right? I don't know. I think he put himself in, it looks like he put himself in perceived jeopardy, so that he could use his firearm. You understand what I'm saying? Because it was me. I'm not pulling my gun out on some people that just trying to drive away from me. They didn't just murder nobody. You know what I'm saying? I don't have no information that they get ready to go murder Joe Blow down the street. I'm trying to stop a murder. I don't have anything. I just think if the car is stolen, we're going to follow them, run these plates, see who these guys are. Even if I'm suspicious of them not stopping, I'm not pulling my gun out. I'm going to run them plates first, see what's going on.
Exactly.
See where they go at.
There still ain't no reason to pull out a gun, right?
Right. What are you pulling out? What are you using lethal force for? People, and they think that these people are not supposed to be afraid for their life when they pull out their weapon. You're not supposed to be afraid. You're supposed to be, oh, yes, officer, I see you got your gun pointed at my head. Okay. How's your day going? You know, that's supposed to be like a walk in the park. Man got a gun pointing at your head. Are you kidding? It's like they don't even think of them as human beings. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's okay. Is that okay? So this is a tragedy. But it's the point here is that this is a tragedy that's repeatedly being repeated. It's like, yo, you know, it's nobody's getting the message. Nobody, these cops not being held accountable. They should be fearful of pulling their weapon out when they're not supposed to. Anybody that uses says, I fear for my life, automatically, you need to get them off the force.
Well,
he's just saying, I was scared. What is that?
I thought I was reading comic books when it said that they're supposed to be public service. What happened to that?
They serving the public. They serving the but they ain't giving you what you want. They serving you what they want to serve you. Sometimes it's death.
It's crazy. It's like. And the cars used to say honor, integrity, and respect. Something else is said, but I noticed that they took that off the cars.
I think that's perhaps a good idea.
They did take it off yet. Maybe
I think it's an excellent idea.
Put a bone and skull on the cars now. I mean, the way they're crazy. They
that's
might as
right.
well be the Undertaker and everything, like Quentin said.
Yeah, all that over. All that about a stolen car that's not stolen, that you could have known. About a, we're not listening, we're not obeying your command. Really? The guns was out before he went over to the car. You gotta watch the video. You know, it doesn't make sense. It don't make no sense. The one officer put the car, his vehicle between him and alleged suspects. They're not suspects. Well, they're not guilty of any stolen of stealing a vehicle because they're not in a stolen vehicle. Ain't no business stopping these folks. You don't know what vehicle you're supposed to be looking for from a stolen pursuit. Then you're not doing your job. Because all you do is run the plates. Anybody know that? I mean, any fool know run the plates of the car, see if it's stolen. If it's not stolen, go on about your business. See, now this dude getting paid to sit at a desk, put some paper, and he just killed two people. How does he get away with killing the kid in the back seat? He's not driving the car. Why is he dead? Let's just say, all right, he should have killed the driver for trying to run him over. Say this is what the situation is. Why is the kid in the back seat dead?
Right.
They ain't even talking about that.
That's pretty ugly, man. This is a really... It's unbelievable.
Is it going to take them 30 to 90 days to figure this out? And you know who you got. You know who's on your police force. These guys know who's on their police force. That's another thing.
It's a gag order.
Well, you know, they got the blue wall, and they don't tell each other, which that needs to be broken down because you need to start, police need to start telling. They talk about the community ain't telling. They ain't telling either. So they as bad as the community is not telling. And there are police officers that stand up. I'm not going to say they don't because I know the young lady, she's on the internet, on YouTube. She stood up. She lost her job. I think she's supposed to be getting her job back, though. But, you know, just because she made a statement about police brutality, you know, while she was out, she was sick, you know. But she made a statement on, you know, I don't know if it was Facebook, Twitter, whatever, something. You know, they don't want to say nothing. Like it's, you know, you're supposed to, you know, there's no police brutality. Get out of here. There's police brutality. But this is a sad story. To recap everything, the reason for the use of deadly force, driving while black behind the wheel of a car. It happened Friday and Tuesday. Police released a statement saying that they were driving a probable stolen car. The car wasn't stolen. There was no report of the car being stolen. The stop is illegal, unwarranted. Teens were racially profiled, or at least harassed. Police can use lethal force if a car presents an imminent threat. But if the officer can get out of the way, they should. He did not. He killed the passenger in the back seat by recklessly firing his weapon into the vehicle. Remember that Breonna Taylor incident? He cannot give a legal reason why he shot the kid in the back seat. Car was not speeding. He was traveling at a slow speed, no more than 10 miles an hour. Officer approached the vehicle, stepping up to a moving vehicle, followed the vehicle, shooting into the vehicle, and shot the passenger also in the back seat, which is sincere. Officer had an opportunity to move himself out of the alleged potential danger because I doubt very seriously creating your own jeopardy poses a threat to you. You pose your own threat to you. Officer placed self in danger, leaving his vehicle, stepping toward a slowly moving vehicle, creating his own jeopardy. This is not just a justified shooting. It is simply another execution. It may have been Santiago's way of letting off some steam. It's a hard lesson in doing what our masters say or suffer the dire consequences. No one had to die. No one. And we got these kids, they not here no more. And we got another kid that's probably traumatized. You know, how's he going to feel next time he's stopped by police in Florida or anywhere? So, and as I say, to you police officers that perform your duty in a professional and caring manner, more power to you. And to you jerks that like to shoot people because you say you're scared or you are scared or you hate them, you have disdain for them, get the hell off of the police department. Until next week,
amen,
y'all. If you want, amen. You say amen to that? Okay. Thank you. I want to thank everybody for calling in. I want to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host the show. I want to thank Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank the creator and all my callers and listeners and downloaders. You can download the show anytime you like. You don't have to listen specifically on Saturdays. That's just the live show. Until next week, y'all. Each one reach one, each one teach one.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the Court from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.